Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
As always.
Elizabeth McNally here this morning. Safe Harbor Child Advocacy Center is our focus. Elizabeth, it is good to have you here this morning. Good morning.
Thank you, Ted.
We're going to talk, the Save Jane event is coming up in October, so we will talk about that as far as the date goes and just your involvement and in what it means. But before we get going into things, for the person that wonders or says, I've heard about Safe Harbor, what is Safe Harbor?
What is Safe Harbor? Well, again, thank you for having me back, Ted. Any opportunity I get to talk about what Safe Harbor does is an opportunity that I'll take. So I appreciate you carving out time for me. So Safe Harbor is a child advocacy center, and we are one of 19 child advocacy centers in Virginia. And we provide specialized services to child victims of abuse. So we are the only child advocacy center that's serving Planning District 16, which includes the city of Fredericksburg, Stafford and Spotsylvania counties, Caroline and King George counties. And then we also formally serve Orange County and are getting ready to expand into Essex County as well. So I can talk about that, too.
Interesting. That is interesting. It's. I was just going to say when you talked about Orange that I know the food bank now does things in Orange. I know that Legal Aid Works does. A lot of Orange is kind of becoming a Eastern Orange, at least part of really part of the Fredericksburg area.
I agreed. And so our partnership started with them about 2 years ago, and it's actually a unique partnership. Orange County runs very like east-west, and so Safe Harbor serves the eastern end of Orange County. And the western end is served by the Charlottesville CAC.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
That is unique in the sense that typically a CAC serves an entire county as opposed to sharing it with another.
Yeah.
But we have a special partnership with Foothills Child Advocacy Center in Charlottesville. So we work closely with them to make sure that the kids of Orange County get the services of a CAC. So we are focused on the eastern end of Orange County.
Well, and Dad Essex, too, is interesting, getting into the
eastern.
Northern Neck. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, there's absolutely no child advocacy center presence in that whole area.
Yeah.
And so we've been working with Essex County for over 6 months now and are about to formalize our partnership with them to be able to bring advocacy services to Essex County and the town of Tappahannock. So we're very excited about that. There are no services out there of a child advocacy center.
Boy, to go into an area that doesn't have services is exciting to know that the topics and the things that we will talk about this morning, it knows no bounds as far as population goes.
Right.
It can happen anywhere.
Yep. And it does. And the children of Essex County need our services. The long-term goal there is to open what's called a satellite. And so that's kind of, I refer to it sort of as a baby CAC.
Yeah.
So a satellite is a smaller, but it's a foothold. It's a physical space. And the ultimate goal is to open a satellite in Essex County, which would open up those services to also counties like Westmoreland, Northumberland. Which kids from those counties now come to us occasionally for services, but it's a long way to travel. So ultimately the plan and the goal is to have a satellite over there so that we can serve the kids in their neighborhood, in their setting.
Which points out the need, and we will talk about it throughout the show, about just the need for financial support. When you support Safe Harbor Child Advocacy Center, You're not only helping around here now, you're helping really a lot of areas
in this
region.
Yes. And it will take more funding to expand. And so we rely on locality funding, which Planning District 16 is very generous to Safe Harbor. And we'll be applying for funding from Essex County as well. We've also applied for some national grants to help with the expansion. But we need the community to support our work as well, because the other funding sources that we try to tap into don't always cover all the costs of what it takes. So, yes, we do need the community support, and it's very easy to donate to Safe Harbor. If you visit our website, there's a donate button on every page.
There is. SafeHarborVA.org.
Yes.
Is where you can find things. And I know just from talking, whether it's Commonwealth's attorneys or just law enforcement in any of the localities, they see what you do, and just how having a kind of a centralized system to do things, just how it helps the child, it helps the family, it helps the overall case.
Yes, and that is, you're kind of tapping into one way in which we do expand, is that those partnerships, those formal partnerships that we have with Planning District 16, those providers talk to each other. So there may be an investigator from Stafford County who's talking to an investigator from Essex County. And Stafford may say, gosh, we use the CAC, you know, and take kids there for their forensic interviews, and they get mental health treatment, and it makes our cases much stronger. The kids are able to heal. And so the word gets out typically amongst those multidisciplinary team members, and that's how people or counties like Essex find out about this. And then they call us and they ask, well, you know, how can we become involved in your services? And how can we offer Essex County kids your services? So it's oftentimes the investigators and those multidisciplinary team members who are talking to folks from other jurisdictions about how the CAC process can help their kids.
To be able to be in one of those northern neck communities and see what's available, you would want to go back and say to your supervisor or whoever, you know, we need to get hooked up in into this
and
system
and get our kids access to these services and this process. And I mean, the law enforcement and DSS communities are also very connected. And so our board president knows all the folks in Essex County and in the police department and the sheriff's department. So those folks are talking too. And so we're busy delivering the services in the CAC. So it's hard for us to be in the community talking about what we provide. So we rely on our MDT members to help spread the word too. And that is what happens. And they hear about the ways that kids can heal and the successes that can be achieved through prosecution and holding offenders accountable and making the community safer.
Well, and just for the kids' sake, that they only have to go through the one interview, and it's just set up so differently. You just think of the way it used to be, and how tough it was, and just the other supports that you provide the child afterwards.
Yes. So prior to CACs, and Safe Harbor's been in existence since 2008, but the first CACs in the country came into being in Alabama in the late 1980s. And before CACs existed, a child would, as you alluded to, a child would have to talk about the worst experience and the worst day of their life to sometimes 15 different people.
Right.
And so they're traumatized by the experience that happened to them, and then they were being re-traumatized by having to tell what happened to them over and over and over again. And so, people were, we can do this better. There's a better way to do this. And that's how CACs were born. And as you said, the goal is to have a child participate in one, we call it a forensic interview, and bring those people to the child, all those people that need to be involved, bring them to the child. And therefore, the system isn't re-traumatizing them. And then we provide the other services, which I'll talk more about later, but to place them on that path to healing. So that is, a CAC is both a process and a place. So we provide a child-focused place, child-friendly place in Fredericksburg, where kids can come with a supportive caregiver to talk about what has happened to them. And then we coordinate that group of professionals and investigators who need to be involved in that child's case and coordinate their work so that they're the child's experience is a coordinated experience, and they're talking to one person.
SafeHarborVA.org, and you can get involved financially, or even something as easy as contacting your local member of the Board of Supervisors, yes, or City Council, and saying, please support this when it comes through at budget time. Yes. Elizabeth McNally is here this morning, Safe Harbor Child Advocacy Center. More coming up by News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230. You can weigh in about today's topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230 and by text at 540-371-5756. Here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Elizabeth McNally in this morning from Safe Harbor Child Advocacy Center, safeharborva.org. As we talk about, Elizabeth, who you deal with in some of these situations, I know you a lot of times have statistics that, yes, talk about what we're talking about.
Yes. And we just need to continually bring awareness to what is going on, because there is, you know, it's so hard to overcome that stigma of, you know, folks not thinking this doesn't happen in our community. This doesn't happen where I live. Well, but it does.
Yeah.
And so it's just important to set the stage too for what are we looking at. So new statistics have come out. Centers for Disease Control are reporting that 1 in 4 girls and 1 in 13 boys are exposed to child abuse in their lifetime. So 25% of girls is huge, exposed to child abuse. Yeah. And that could be any number of types of child abuse.
1 in 4, mm-hmm, is a big, I mean, that's the kind of thing I think that is especially for, in so many areas, you look around your neighborhood, you look around.
1 in 4 of those girls.
Yeah.
Is, yep.
Or any situation. That's, yes, that's too many.
It's, yes.
It's horrible. It's, I mean, it's even very for the scary boys, 1 in 13 boys is a.
That's a high percentage.
Yeah.
Too. Yes. So thinking globally, the World Health Organization estimates that 1 billion children will experience sexual violence in particular. So again, like, I mean, think about 1 billion children. Mm. It happens, and it happens everywhere. So coming back to the United States, it is known that over 550,000 children are victims of abuse, or were victims of abuse in 2022. Now, the other thing that we have to remember, that equates to 8 out of every 1,000 children. So again, that's a lot of children.
Right. And you said, I mean, those just show you, to even though we don't know, we don't see it,
you're
it's
leading
happening
to the next thing that I was going to say, which was, these are known reports of abuse. Not every child who's abused, a report is made. So we'll talk too about what to do and how to,
yeah,
you know, what the community's responsibility is. But 8 out of every 1,000 children was a victim of abuse in 2022. And then, so sadly, in 2022, also nationwide, almost 2,000 children died as a result of child abuse and neglect. So just reminding people that, yeah, it does happen here. I don't have these stats in front of me, but I believe that in 2023, there were about 55,000 children involved in reports of child abuse just in Virginia. So that, now bringing it down to Virginia, does not mean that all of those cases were founded to be that abuse actually happened. But 55,000 children thereabouts were involved in reports of abuse,
yeah,
in Virginia, just to the Department of Social Services.
It's just we don't like to think about it, and we don't think it's happening. And then when it does, we all are, you know, naturally surprised. But
yes,
these statistics show that it's going on in all of our, you know, nice subdivision streets that we, you know, that we, right, all, in our nice world that we all live on.
Right. We're all probably encountering children who are being abused, yeah, in some way. Well, I am, because I work in the CAC, but people who live in the community, you have children playing outside your house, you know, you're encountering kids most likely who've been abused or are currently being abused, because the stats are so high.
Yes. I look at these stats and do over the years think of my own kids, of where later on we heard that,
uh-huh,
people,
yes,
that they stood at the bus stop with,
yes,
that there were, you know, things that happened.
And because of the nature of predatory behavior, you know, part of what happens is that we used to use the term grooming, that children were groomed by predators.
Yeah.
And some people still use that term, but we tend to use the term manipulation now, that children are manipulated. And because they are vulnerable, because they're young, part of what happens is that predators can manipulate them into thinking that, you know, if you tell anybody what's going on, you're going to die. I'm going to kill your pet. I'm going to kill your sister. I mean, it's just part of the nature of child abuse that people are manipulating children so that they won't even tell themselves when it's happening to them.
And it's just, and you always hear the stories of when it's within families about the things that are said about you can't say anything, or you know, it's
yeah.
So yeah, there's all yeah. kinds of all kinds of threats made.
Yes, and in Virginia, and I think I don't have the nationwide statistic, but the vast majority of children who are abused, where abuse is discovered or founded, the vast majority of them are abused by. Thank you for leading me to this. They're abused by people who are in their household,
yeah.
or their family. So it's not the stranger necessarily. It could be the person at the bus stop, but it's not the stranger typically. It's somebody that child knows, which adds another level of just, it's just very scary.
Right.
Yeah.
And when it does become known, just how it impacts the whole family. It's obviously the child and you're dealing with the predator, but then the whole family is impacted.
Yes, yes.
And you're thinking I should have seen it and all of that kind.
Well, and think about kids too who are being abused by a family member and are conflicted about, well, I know if I tell what's happening to me, my whole family is going to mm-hmm. break apart. My world is going to break apart. I don't know what my life will look like. And so that's another of the dynamics of child abuse that causes children, and I'm not pointing fingers at children, but that causes them to not tell.
Right.
Because they don't know what their life is going to look like, or they're being threatened to not tell.
Especially, I would think, for older children, too.
Yeah,
The ones that really could think it through.
Yes. What I tend to see is, in the time that I've been working in the CAC world, is that 8, 9, 10, 11 age group, they're old enough to understand – number one, that what's happening to them is wrong. But number two, if I tell about this, they can foresee what their life is going to look like negatively if they tell. And they know how it's going to – typically kids – younger kids typically don't have that – they don't understand the consequences for their family necessarily. So we're here to help all of those kids. And we're here to educate the community about the fact that most of the people who abuse children are inside their own home. And that's why it's so important that community members look out for kids and make these reports when they have a suspicion of abuse. Because we all need to be protecting.
Yeah. No. Kids. And you're protecting the child. Are there any signs, any things out there that you advise people to just look for?
Yeah. So like changes in behavior that are, like if you know a child well enough that you can see a change in their behavior in a negative way, like they become withdrawn or they're not interacting. I'm not saying that means the child's been abused, but this can be a sign. If they're not, you know, doing well in school, they're not sort of participating, don't want to go to school, that can be a sign. There can also be physical manifestations. So literally, like if children who are 6, 7, 8 are wetting the bed, that's something that is of concern. Needs to be checked out. Could be multiple reasons for it, but that is don't want to interact with the people that they used to interact with on a regular basis. They're avoiding, you know, certain people. There's great information on the Department of Social Services website about signs to look for. And I can during one of our breaks, I can look up that website so that we can give it to listeners. But they have a great pamphlet that people can just quickly look at online and look at all the signs and symptoms. And it also, of course, gives instructions as to what to do if you have a concern for a child.
And it is a good thing. So many groups now, or in so many instances, groups that where adults are working with children require that the adults go through a state police background check.
Oh yes.
which is a real good thing.
Yes. And maybe even more checks than that, like FBI checks, fingerprint checks, lots of, rules and regulations in place about protecting kids. And who we're employing in these settings.
Mm-hmm. Just because, and especially when you come out and talk about these statistics and things that are happening, there are people involved in the community that are doing bad things.
Yes.
And are bad people.
Yes. And we need to put protections in place to make sure that they're not employed in settings where this happens. We do work on some cases where there's individuals from schools or youth-serving organizations or, that are doing these things to kids. And so, yeah.
And unfortunately, we do see the cases. There's always a number of them each year that become or get to the point where we hear about them. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times they are people in the community or kind of well known in their sphere of the community.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, they have access to kids.
Yeah.
Access and the kids are vulnerable.
Mm-hmm. Boy, what you and your staff does is just it's such a help to the community, but boy, emotionally and I don't know how you do it sometimes, how you're able to. And you've talked about just how the strategies that you have to work with your staff to mm-hmm. be able to go home at night.
Yeah. Yeah. Secondary trauma is a real thing. And everybody manages it differently and everybody experiences it differently. But it is important for organizations like Safe Harbor to make sure that they have systems in place to address what the staff may be experiencing too. And so, yes, there are a number of ways. So, for example, several years ago, we brought in a new benefit, an employee assistance program, which many employers have to support their employees.
Yeah.
What it does is it gives employees access to a counselor who can do immediate counseling with them. And it's confidential. So if one of my employees were to call that EAP, I wouldn't even know about it. It doesn't need to be something that I know about.
Yeah.
And then there's a variety of other benefits that EAPs can provide. So our organization made that a priority. But we also try to do things almost on a daily basis that can help support. So like things like offering more flexibility in a schedule, if that's something that helps mm-hmm. somebody, is something that we can talk about. Doing sort of morale supporting things, like giving people an opportunity to debrief about what they've experienced of a child's abuse, listening to that child's story. Not everybody avails themselves of that opportunity to debrief, but it does help some people. Mm-hmm. So we're just always trying to be aware of what more we can do to address secondary trauma.
Well, this is why we do these shows so frequently, just to talk to the community about this is happening
mm-hmm.
and open your eyes to it and realize and financially get involved with Safe Harbor, safeharborva.org. Elizabeth McNally here. We'll take a quick break and come back and talk more about this. We're going to get into the Save Jane event that is coming up in October and some other stuff this morning on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's 8:31.
From the Fredericksburg.today online news studios, this is News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station focused on Fred. This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Tough conversation this morning. Safe Harbor mm-hmm. Child Advocacy Center is in. Elizabeth McNally, the executive director, is here. safeharborva.org. And boy, we were just talking off air about just what a serious problem this is, and just a wide problem everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And we're lucky to have, like I always say it, we're lucky to have a CAC right here. And
Yes.
And especially in your case, that, I mean, and you've been here and you've worked with, there are a lot of people involved with your board and just with law enforcement that have been doing this for a long time. Mm-hmm. Long time.
We have deep roots. And I was reminded at that National Night Out in Spotsylvania a couple of weeks ago of just how deep our roots go in Spotsylvania in particular.
Yeah.
So we're very grateful for the support of all the jurisdictions that we work with. But getting back to what you're saying, it is a very hard topic. It's important that we keep it in front of people because it is happening. And the other point that I wanted to make is what are the consequences of a child having been abused, the long-term consequences?
Yeah.
So you have the pain and trauma of the abuse itself, but untreated, you also have, and I'm talking about sexual abuse, physical abuse, even neglect, has these long-term outcomes. The most prominent of which can be mental health problems. So kids can suffer mood disorders. They can have anxiety. They can get into substance abuse if their trauma is not treated. So it starts with that multidisciplinary response that's coordinated so kids aren't re-traumatized by the process. But then one of the services that Safe Harbor offers is mental health treatment. And we offer that in our CAC. Kids have already built a relationship. Well, we've built a relationship with kids when they come to us for their initial services. They feel comfortable coming back. They look, they see faces they know and trust. And then if they agree and their caregiver agrees, we engage them in mental health treatment. And we offer a specialized evidence-based modality that is proven to work, have positive effects for kids who've experienced abuse. And so what it's doing is reducing their trauma symptoms, their post-traumatic stress symptoms, so that they don't experience anxiety continually. They don't experience mood disorders. They don't get into substance abuse. And that they can heal and be productive members of society and have a healthy life. So the consequences are grave. They're not just that initial trauma to the child. It's the ongoing, sometimes lifelong, negative impacts.
And it all starts, treated. It all starts with that knowing and trusting.
Yes.
It goes back to you all.
Yes, certainly there are CACs that don't provide mental health treatment on site. But our board and our, you know, people who built Safe Harbor felt it was very important to have both medical treatment and mental health treatment on site at the CAC so that kids could benefit from the fact that they're coming back to the same place and seeing the same faces and that trust is already built. So we are fortunate to have mental health on site and our medical on site. Not every CAC has that.
And I think that in over the years in talking with you about this, the times and the stories that just make you the happiest are the situations where the child has gone through and has made it and is just so appreciative, and there's just such respect and joy for, you know, what you've been able to provide. And
yeah,
I know that those kinds of stories, just you beam. As you should.
Yeah. Well, and like I say, we at the CAC have the privilege, we are in the privileged position of number one, being able to serve these children, and number two, being able to experience the arc of their healing. So we see them at the beginning of their journey, when they're coming in to talk to us about what has happened to them. If they're engaged in therapy, they're coming back to us, like I just talked about. We get to see that progression and that arc. And therapy can be anywhere from 12 weeks up to 18, 24 weeks, depending on what the child needs. So we're seeing them over time.
Right.
And we get to see that change from coming in with maybe the hoodie over their head and not making eye contact, not really interacting with people, just sort of very withdrawn and wounded.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
Wounded. And going from that to interacting with the folks on the team, coming in, smiling, being engaged in their lives in a different way, in a positive way, doing well in school, having a strong, supportive relationship with their caregiver. So we get to see that. The community doesn't get to see that. So that arc, that is part of what feeds our ability to keep doing the work too.
And that's why it is so important that we all know some of the signs. And if you think, just because if you don't say anything, this can continue on for generations and generations.
And it does. Generational abuse is a real thing. Trying to get to my phone numbers here. Yes. So like I said earlier, the Department of Social Services has great information on, if you go to VDSS, Virginia Department of Social Services.
Okay.
If you look them up in Google, it'll take you to their website, then go from there to child abuse and neglect. The number, the hotline number is 800-552-7096. So if you have a concern about a child, we always recommend that you make a dual report, which means reporting to Child Protective Services at that number that I just gave out, and calling your local law enforcement. The best thing to do is to call both. They do, in high functioning communities, those two entities report to each other. And so they do that in Fredericksburg and the surrounding area. But we always encourage people to call both, because sometimes the caseloads can be very long.
Yeah.
So again, it's 800-552-7096 is the hotline. If there are any mandated reporters out there who are listening to this, you already know this, but mandated reporters also have a website that they can go to make a report in writing. And mandated reporters are people like teachers in schools, medical personnel.
Okay. I was going to ask you, what's a mandated reporter? That makes sense.
I like to think that everybody's a mandated reporter.
Right.
But legally, we're not all mandated reporters, but people in medical settings are mandated reporters. Yeah. Social workers are, teachers, school personnel, mandated reporters. So there's a special place where they can always call the hotline, but they also have a place where they can submit a report in writing. And if anybody has concerns about remaining anonymous when they make that report, they can remain anonymous, so they don't have to give their name when they make that report. So if that's a barrier, if people are concerned about that, don't let that be. And then on the Child Protective Services website, there's also many links to information that people can quickly read about signs and symptoms of abuse. So if you have concerns about a child, there's information there.
Pass it on.
Because there
may be nothing, and you can rejoice about that. But like we say, if you don't, you're just setting up.
Perpetuating, potentially, yes. Yes.
And,
yeah.
Every time we do these shows, I'm never quite ready for whatever, whether it's today, it's been the statistics or just the wide scope of what we're dealing with around here. But the good news is that there are areas like Essex, or you've been doing for a while with Eastern Orange, and there are areas that you're being able to expand in.
Yes, so there's physical expansion and expansion of our services, but the other way in which threats to children could just continue to expand. We haven't even talked about the whole realm of online abuse. So maybe we could dedicate a future show to that.
We will have to. I'm just writing a note here.
Yeah. So, what we call sometimes non-contact abuse. There's all kinds of abuses that are happening online to children.
Yeah.
Whether it's direct or indirect, whether it's non-contact types of abuse, technology-facilitated abuse is real and happening, and we're seeing more and more cases identified.
Yes. All Stafford and Spotsylvania, it seems like at least once a month you're hearing about somebody who was arrested, either something that they've investigated or just a sting that they
so it's just a whole other realm of, and CACs are involved as well in the response to technology facilitated abuse. So I think we should dedicate a show to that.
I have a note here.
Sadly.
I have a note.
I think we should.
Yeah.
I just share that as an illustration of the need doesn't seem to be decreasing. the need seems to be increasing.
And we talk about the community watching things. In this case, this is where parents or even the mandated reporters or teachers, if you see something's going on or something doesn't look right as far as, you know, online contacts.
Yes. Report that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And there's some great, I believe it's on NCMEC, and I'll look it up during the next break. There's some great educational material. It's a program called NetSmarts, and I'll look it up on the break. But it's a great website that has information and tutorials and for all age groups of children who are using the internet. So it's a great place for caregivers to go, parents to go, to watch and get engaged with these kinds of videos and about how to stay safe online and how to protect yourself online. So I want to make sure that I give out that address before we wrap up. But there's a lot of content out there for kids to protect them, but they are very vulnerable online as well. So we work in that realm as well. And the need is great.
We will do this is for a future show.
Yes.
And we'll take a break a little bit early and come back and we'll talk about some of those things. And then we'll also talk about Save Jane in October and how you can get involved. And we will do another show to talk specifically about Save Jane. But we'll get some of that information when we come back. Elizabeth McNally here from Safe Harbor Child Advocacy Center, safeharborva.org. We'll conclude when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Download the all-new News Talk 1230 WFVA app for Apple and Android. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Safe Harbor Child Advocacy Center, Elizabeth McNally here this morning, safeharborva.org. You looked up some things in the last couple of minutes.
I did, yes. So the NetSmarts program that I was talking about is a series of videos and other kinds of content for caregivers and their children to engage and to be safe online. So you can find that at missingkids.org. And that's NCMEC's website, which is the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. But the web address is missingkids.org. And then if you just search for NetSmarts, NETSMARTZ, you can find their program there. And then getting back to the hotline just one more time in Virginia for reporting suspected child abuse, 800-552-7096.
So good information to have, and we will in the future talk about online abuse and some of the things that you're dealing with there. The Save Jane event, this will be number
five.
Yeah. Okay.
Fifth annual
down at Market Square, and it is in Friday, October 18th.
Yes, it will start at noon. This year we have over 9,700 names to read. So that what we have found over the years is that typically takes until about 9:30 at night to read all the names. So that's the span. Our reader sign up is open, so we invite the community to come and read names. So we're reading Jane Doe, John Doe. We're not reading real children's names. Our reader sign ups are open, and that information will be on our website probably by early next week. The community will be able to sign up to read names. We're also would love to have sponsorships for that event. Mary Washington Healthcare has already sponsored the event, so we're very grateful for that. But we do need more sponsors, and information will be on our website about sponsorships as well. But this is our opportunity to raise awareness in the community about what is going on and the fact that child abuse does happen right here in our community, and that there is a place and a process called Safe Harbor, which can help those kids in partnership with all of our investigators and other professionals.
Those 9,000 names encompass what's the area?
It's Planning District 16, and then we also include the jurisdictions that we provide what we call courtesy services to. So, if a jurisdiction doesn't have a CAC accessible to them, we may allow them to come to RCAC. So it includes numbers from, for example, Culpeper. We included Essex County this year, sure, because we're partnering with them. I think there are about 11 jurisdictions altogether when you add our six that we formally partner with and the other jurisdictions that we do courtesy services for. So it's the 11 counties, essentially.
Boy, though, 9,000 names, and the fact that you can start at noon and you start reading right away.
It's pretty much. There's
a little bit of an opening ceremony, but right, by 12:15 usually you're underway. To go till 9 o'clock at night just shows that's a lot of names, unfortunately.
It's a lot of names, and we also read the ages.
Yeah.
So people get a sense of, I mean, we serve children from 0 years, from infancy all the way up to 18, and the reason that we're able to serve infants is because we have that medical exam suite. So sometimes kids, I mean, they can't participate in a forensic interview because they don't talk yet.
Yeah.
But they may need medical services. So we're reading names and we're attaching ages to those that are reflective of who we serve. And so you may hear, you know, Jane Doe, who is a 6-month-old.
Yeah.
You know? So, yes, it's...
And it's those names a lot of times that you can tell as the person's reading them and they get to that. We'll get to
them. It stops them in their tracks.
It does.
Yeah. People have all different kinds of reactions to reading names. And so we're in our fifth year. We have people who have been reading names all 5 years, but we will also have people who've never done it before. And we have folks who come out and tell us after the fact that they have been a victim themselves, mm-hmm, and that this is the first time they've participated in something that brought awareness to what's happening. And so it's moving to everyone who participates for different reasons.
It's
amazing.
It is. Bravery, and it's for what you do, and especially just in the context of even just the last hour of us talking, it just fits what you're doing. I remember it was 5 years ago, and you just said, we just don't feel like having a banquet to kind of thing fits what we do. And this really is just a perfect fit. So October 18th, and if you go to safeharborva.org in the next week or so, you'll see more information on it and sign up. And if you can get involved with that, do it.
Yes, absolutely. We want to engage as many members of the community as we can. Keep this message in front of people. Yeah.
Well, good stuff this morning. Not stuff that we like to hear, but stuff we need to know about.
Yes.
And get involved. And again, you can get involved financially with safeharborva.org. That hotline number, if you suspect abuse, 800-552-7096. Elizabeth McNally, thank you. We'll get together and talk next time really about Save Jane and getting involved with that. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Ted, for having me.
That is it. Thank you for listening. We'll see you Monday.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA, focused on Fredericksburg.